Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 4th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVII, beginning with "The Doctor Writes," through four paragraphs, ending with "That Lie Outside Our Synthetic Knowledge." We're going to be reading and commenting on those four paragraphs only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Jordan L., 12 Traditions, Debbie P., Reader of the Text, Sherry M., Mary B. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Jordan L. The reference number for Sunday, April 3rd, is 18,773. That's 18773. And for this morning, Monday, April 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 18,776. That's 18776. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jordan L. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Don. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm grateful to be on a meeting today. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. And now I'll ask Debbie P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I'm from Indiana. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public communication media. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve today.
I think you're muted.
I believe you're muted.
I am so sorry. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXVII, beginning with the doctor writes through 4 paragraphs, ending with that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And we're going to be reading and commenting on those 4 paragraphs only today. I will now ask Sherry M. to read and share with us. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. The doctor writes, the subject presented in this book seems to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years' experience as medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholic and drug addiction. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such masterly detail in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics. But its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with our ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. Oh, my name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered today in California, and I'm so grateful that I get to unpack these paragraphs. And thank you so much for moderating, Dawn, and all your service. So starting in the first paragraph, right, the subject, the doctor is writing to me, and it's saying that what is in this book is of paramount importance. And what does paramount mean? More important than anything else. So that gets my attention. It's important to me if I believe that I'm afflicted with alcoholic addiction. Do I believe that I'm a food addict? Am I an alcoholic with my food? I must believe that. In order to get what's in this book, right? I need to know that when I start eating certain substances, I can't stop, and that I always go back to food, because no matter how many times I've said I'm not going to eat tomorrow, I've eaten tomorrow. And do I really believe that I'm bodily and mentally different? And then I'm just like Bill is and all these 100 men and women that have recovered with alcohol. Am I the same with food? So I identify in there. And then I keep going, and I'm grateful that he's talking about, he's dealt with us. He has dealt with someone just like me for many, many years in the oldest hospital, treating someone who has my affliction, drug, alcoholic, I can substitute food addiction. So I can take what this doctor is saying as applying directly to me. I listened to an AA speaker, and the last paragraph that I read, he had me change some words around, and for me, it brought it to life, and it made it more modern and something that I could understand. And this is what my changes are in my big book, and I hope maybe someone will get something out of this. But he told me to put, so we doctors have realized for a long time that some form of spiritual awakening was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. What with our up-to-date standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of God that lie outside our medications. And to me, this really resonates, because that is what the doctors are saying. They're saying that no matter how much knowledge they have, right? This book was in 1939. This applies to today. I don't know any doctor who has a cure for this disease. And they're saying basically that the more they know, right, the more they keep studying us, the less they know. Anything that's man-made, synthetic, is not going to help me with this disease. It must be from another power beyond a doctor. And I am so grateful that I have found that power. And I am certain with everything inside of me that if I did not stumble upon, I'm sure by God's intervention, to a Vision for You meetings, I wouldn't have been able to identify my disease. And that's my time. And so I want to wrap up and just say that if you're new, just stay here, because we have found a solution, and there are so many of us that are getting recovered by just following the instructions in this big book. So I can't wait to hear from all of you. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry M., for getting us started. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on these paragraphs. Again, we're on page XXVII, beginning with The Doctor Writes, reading through four paragraphs, ending with That Lie Outside Our Synthetic Knowledge. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
This is Darcy from
Helena A.
Tony Ann A.
Okay, I have Darcy and Tony, and there was someone I missed in there.
Alana A.
Alana? Alana?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead with Darcy, then followed by Tony, and then Alana. Darcy, please go ahead. Give me your initial and where you're calling from, please.
Okay. This is Darcy M. from Nebraska, a compulsive overeater. This is just telling the beginnings of what they're finding out now. And what I liked about was the fact that this was one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcoholics and drug addicts. And they're saying that we don't know we don't have the cure. The cure is found somewhere else. It's found by some other means. It's a moral psychology, or like as I can't remember her name, a spiritual experience. It has to be experienced by the person, and it has to be. It's not something you can learn by words, by reading in books. You have to experience it. And it's something, it's just, you have to experience it and then rely on it and then go back and go practice it every day. And that's I don't know what else to say except that it's, he's saying that, I'm just repeating myself here, I guess. I'm rambling, but he's just saying that you have to rely on something else, like the powers of good that lie outside of our basic knowledge. He's saying there's something else out there that we don't know yet, and we have to rely on that. And with that, I'm going to pass. And
Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much, Darcy M. from Nebraska, for getting us started. And now, Tony, will you share and please give me your initial?
What page are we on, please?
Okay. Just hold on. We're going to have Tony share. We're on page XXVII.
Thank you.
And starting with the doctor writes, reading through four paragraphs, ending with that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. So, Tony, if you'd go ahead and share with us now and give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Hey, everybody. I think you met Tony Ann. This is Tony Ann A. from New Jersey. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here on this beautiful Monday. Moral psychology. I just wanted to touch on that for a second. I didn't know when I first was reading the big book, but that actually was a real thing back at that time that the authors wrote this book, Moral Psychology. And basically what it was is it was used relatively narrowly to refer to the study of moral development, And the doctors at that time knew that when these drunks were coming in, what they needed to do is to give them a different type of an attitude or a different ideal and values. But what they didn't know was how to bring that about in them. In other words, they didn't have the applications. They didn't know how to implement it. They knew what the problem was. When I came into this program, I knew what my problem was. I could not stop eating. And I knew what the answer was. The answer was to put down the food. And I needed to change my life. But what I didn't have was I didn't have the implementation of the solution. And that's what these 12 steps are. They literally are, for me, the implementation, how I implement the solution to what my problem is. And ultimately what the 12 steps do is they bring me to a different ideal. In step 12, I'm now, I'm out of my own selfishness. I'm more into the idea of what would God have me be? And that's the solution that I've been looking for from the time that I came in, but I didn't on my own, in my own experiences, and the people that I had been exposed to or the things that I had heard before I came into this program, never had the exposure. I never had the exposure to how to be able to learn the tools that I needed to get from point A, the problem, to point B, the solution, which is a spiritual answer. Anyway, with that, thank you, everybody. Have a great week. And don't give up until the miracle happens. This program works. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony N.A. from New Jersey. And now we'll have Alana A., and please let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, Alana.
Hi, I'm Alana A. I'm calling from Ontario, Canada. I think I can relate to quite a lot of stuff in this little passage. First of all, doctors don't have all the answers. I've been to hospital several times over issues of my recovery, and every time they, two things, they don't know how to help, and they also will tell me, well, if you're having issues with your recovery program, you should just quit it. So modern medicine or modern doctors and stuff don't all know how important recovery is to us. They also don't understand how the program works and how the God aspect of it is so vital to our recovery. I highlighted the words moral psychology. I think, spiritual awakening can be a substitute for that, but I think moral psychology also has value, because so much of what we do has to do with morality. doing the right thing, listening to God properly, executing His will properly. So I'm on day one. I've been on day one now for over a year. I've had some abstinence, but I've really struggled. And I'm going to more meetings now like this because I really need the solution and I really need to sort of understand that I have a disease. I think I know, like, through this the passages like this, that I'm powerless to food and my life is unmanageable, but I think there's still some, I think I still perceive some manageability in eating.
Okay.
So anyway, back to the passage.
Time.
It's pardon?
That's time, sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Alana A. from Canada. And now I'm going to be opening up the lines to take more names of people who would like to share on these four paragraphs on page XXVII, beginning with the Dr. Wrights, reading through four paragraphs ending with that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us?
Rella R.
Pamela E. California.
Rella
Christian
R.
Okay. I have Pamela E. So go ahead and.
Laura W.
Okay. Laura W.
Rella R.
Rella R.
Pamela G.
I have Pamela E., Laura W., and Rella R. Who else?
Christine
Deborah
H.
Carol R.
Was that a Christine?
Christine H.
Christine H.
Aaliyah A.
Aaliyah A.
Carol R.
Carol R.
Deborah
okay.
G.
Deborah G. Okay, I have... let's stop there. I have Pamela E., Laura W., Rella R., Christine H., Aaliyah A., and Carol R., and Deborah G. So go ahead, Pamela E., if you would share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Pamela E. from California speaking this morning. I am so glad that I turned you all that I am in this morning. I have my seat at the table. If I could have been in that town's hospital a long time ago, I was begging to be hospitalized now. When the doctor writes, he's talking about me. He's talking about me today. He's talking about me and what I was trying to do yesterday. Boy, there was a religious group that was going to start this 5-week thing on the spiritual recovery tonight. Do I need to go there? No. Why? Because I have a program. I have my peeps. I have a sponsor. I have a God, and no matter how many doctors I've tried, how many things I've tried, moral psychology, yes, the spiritual awakening of the educational variety, and I keep having to learn again. May this be my last learning, but it's never given up. It's a day-by-day thing. It's staying in the Word. It's reaching out. It's talking. It's speaking. It's going to be sponsoring when I get far enough along and my sponsor says, yay, it's time, because it's one drunk, food drunk, talking to another sponsor and sponsee and the real nitty gritty that's going to help. So thanks so much for being here. I'm committed to abstinence today. I'm going to be making my calls. I'm going to be doing my 10 steps, practicing moral psychology so that I can still have a spiritual awakening of the educational variety, one call, one moment, one thought at a time by the grace of God, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pamela E. from California. And now, Laura W., will you share with us and let us know where you're calling from?
Thanks so much. Good morning. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. These paragraphs are great. You know, it says that the doctor says it's in paramount importance to those afflicted with alcohol addiction. He uses the word so carefully. You know, afflicted means suffering. He knows that us addicts, we suffer. We don't just have a little problem with food or alcohol. We suffer through this disease. And, you know, he says, therefore, I had a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject. He's looking at this as an honor for him to share this letter with people, with the world. And, you know, he says words like, it was covered in such masterly detail. He's endorsing this book. He's saying to us, you know, I'm a doctor and I'm a very respected physician, but I don't know. I can't figure this out. You know, this is just like we know, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And he's being very humble and saying that, I don't know how to figure this out. This is a disease, and yet it's a disease that I, as a doctor, cannot fix. And he's endorsing it, and he's telling us how important it is for us to follow the steps in this book, follow what these alcoholics are saying, because they've been there, they've trudged the road, and they know what the solution is. And most doctors, even today, I find that most doctors don't understand the obsession of the mind or the allergy of the body, and especially when it comes to food. I can't tell you how many doctors I've spoken to that have said, you know, that have really endorsed intuitive eating and the all foods fit approach and moderation. And you know what? That does work for so many people. But for the real compulsive eater and the real alcoholic, to say that, it's a death sentence. So, you know, it's very difficult for me to explain to people the spiritual solution and the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And so many people I've spoken to don't understand, and that's okay. I just know what works for me. I know that my recovery is based on is based on spiritual principles. And my higher power, God, has restored me to sanity one day at a time for over 17 years. And it's not, you know, it's one day at a time. I wake up every morning and have to start all over again when it comes to my spiritual growth and my spiritual awakening. And this doctor knows that. And it's really wonderful to hear that, we're not alone in this. And if we follow the book step by step through all 12, we're going to get recovery. It's almost guaranteed in this book. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from South Jersey. Now we're going to have Rella R. share with us, followed by Christine H. And before Rella shares, I just want to let you know we're on page XXVII, beginning with The Doctor Writes, reading through four paragraphs, ending with That Lie Outside Our Synthetic Knowledge. So Rella R., if you would share with us, please.
Hi, this is Rella R., very slowly recovering compulsive eater from Brooklyn, New York. I was always impressed, and I don't know if I have much to add to what the previous speaker said, because she really articulated it well, that then and probably and now too, there was a certain certainty and maybe even arrogance about the scientific community, about having all the answers, and, you know, answers being in the physical world, in the material world, and what can be seen and heard and proven. And yet this doctor had the humility to say that with all our scientific knowledge, it is a spiritual path and a moral psychology that is what the alcoholic really needs to recover. And I think that was profound. I think that was a profound message for the whole world, that there are things beyond the physical realm. And I'm an observant Jew, and it spoke to me very deeply, and it has made me start seeing all the practices and the learning that I've done in a different light. I need to grab those I think he describes it like a drowning man, and I need to reevaluate and reappreciate the things that I have been doing that had not been genuine enough, or hadn't incorporated those ideals enough, and there are other factors. I'm not going to be really hard on myself. There's trauma, and there's abuse in my background, and I'm a child of two Holocaust survivors, so there's a lot. But definitely redeveloping a relationship with my higher power, which is work. It's hard work. And it means that I need to reevaluate every day. How am I feeling vis-a-vis my higher power today? Am I angry? Am I resentful? Am I unwillful? Am I unwilling? It's a constant recalibration of my relationship with my higher power, and it needs to somehow lead to a sense of acceptance and peace with him. So I'm grateful, and that means peace with my life and accepting, you know, the parts of my life. And so I'm grateful for that. It's really enhanced my practices. And I do struggle still, and I do pray, and I'm grateful to this program and to all the very hopeful and healing messages of all my fellow travelers. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rella R. from New York. Christine H., will you share with us now, followed by Aaliyah A.? Go ahead, Christine.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for serving and sharing. And this morning, I was able to rework my schedule so I could talk, could share. So I appreciate those who get on and share, because a lot of times I'm on the recordings. But I didn't get a lot of help from medical community. I didn't get a lot even help from church, you know, and that's where I was seeking it many years. And I still go on Silitone, but I learned here that I had alcoholic foods I had to give up. You know, there's no moderation. And I learned here how much I had to apply, you know, even things I knew. Like, you know, I'm spending a good 2-3 hours a day doing program. And if you had told me 3 years ago that that's how much I'd have to, you know, be leaning on the Lord and being in fellowship with other people, I would have been like, no, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that. That's crazy. And a lot of gals that I come up to that I try to, you know, share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, they're like, oh, I've tried to diet all my life and it just doesn't work. So I'm just choosing to accept the way I am, you know, kind of thing. And it's like, no, I share with them that I was willing to do all this work because I had to, you know, and I was in pain, you know, it was painful being obsessed with food. But the part here that really hits me personally more is that, you know, we often try to use our own knowledge and our own thinking, and I lean on that, you know. And so this week that's been a theme that's come out many times about how I need to not lean on my own understanding, and I need to seek the Lord on what, you know, I need to do every moment, do his will. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Christine H. And now Aaliyah A., followed by Carol R. Go ahead, Aaliyah.
Good morning. This is Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and very grateful to be on the line today. So it starts with the subject presented in this book, which is basically the 12-step program. And it's of paramount importance. Paramount means more important than anything else. And this is the truth. It has become the most important thing today to work this program so that I can take care of everything else in my life and to resolve my food addiction. So the other thing which many people covered is the moral psychology. You know, I did need a psychic change, a personality change, a spiritual awakening to go over the steps and to continue on with my life. And this is the miracle of the program for me, is the spiritual awakening. And I'm so much more aware, you know, by listening to God and by doing the steps of, you know, what I've been doing and how I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. So it's really for me an action, a program of action. You know, I will start sponsoring soon and, you know, sponsored before. And this is really, you know, the being of service to others, which really is also a miracle. And this is, you know, again, what people said is the humbling statement from a doctor, you know, saying that medicine is not enough. or medicine has not solved the problem of food addiction or alcoholism, and that we, medicine cannot help, but God can help. These 12 steps can help. The practical application can help at once. And the step these steps are so practical, and the directions are so clear and so clear in the big book. So the doctor does endorse it, you know, and this program is a miracle. We can get recovery, but every day we need to work and wake up in the morning, you know, knowing that we have the food addiction and take action after action and follow the directions of the book. So I feel, you know, with this program that I can face my life, get through the challenges, you know, in life, and find, you know, serenity and peace with my higher power, with all the OA fellows, you know, which I'm very grateful for. So thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. Carol R., will you share with us now, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll be opening up the lines again. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, this is Carol from Recovered from Pennsylvania. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Okay, great. My phone's been playing some tricks on me, so thanks. Really good to be on the line this morning. And I love that we're reading this chapter and the comments by Dr., you know, Silkworth. And like a lot of people have already stated, the one thing that I really remember when I was reading this before was that this man is the director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country treating alcohol and drug addiction. So he's been around the block a lot of times. He's seen the hopelessness, the despair, the broken families of what this disease brings. And he's saying that, you know, that this book, he's saying that this book is of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcohol addiction. And I know other people have mentioned this, but I think it's paramount to mention that it's paramount, because I don't think you can hear it too much, but like, this is the most important thing that we need to do, is to, you know, to get into our recovery process and spend as much time as we need to figure out, like, you know, how we can stay abstinent, you know, which is working the steps and taking the message to others, and by the grace of God. And when he talks about this moral psychology, I have, you know, in the bar, the sidebar, written psychic pain or spiritual experience. And I don't really understand exactly what they meant by moral psychology, but I was trying to look it up a little bit, and basically living a righteous and upright life, you know, like doing the right thing. And I think there was a whole thing going on about that. But, you know, the humility of this doctor is just so amazing, too. That's what really strikes me, too, is that he's seen the brokenness of this disease for years, over and over, and he's treated alcoholics that are begging him, and he doesn't know. And he's saying, humbly, he's saying that we don't have the answer, you know, that some type of moral, he believes that some type of moral psychology, which we equate to a psychic change or a spiritual, you know, a spiritual experience in this program. So thank God, because when we work the steps, we do get the spiritual experience. Thank God for that. Thank God for these steps. Thank God for this book. You know, so with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carol R. from Pennsylvania. Deborah G., will you share with us now? And then I'll be taking a couple more names. Go ahead, Deborah.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much. And for being of service, and everyone being of service and making this meeting possible, and all the shares 12-stepping me today. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and what came up for me was, I'm so grateful, first of all, for Dr. Silkworth and his experience with the disease. You know, that he I feel like what I heard was finally got to that place that I had to get to that place of having no power. I have no power. You know, lack of power. That's my dilemma. And I had to find power. And I found power by going through the rest of those steps and getting a relationship, a deep relationship with that power, which in going through those steps, just going through those open-minded, willing, and honest, did I get a transformation, you know? And that I have the freedom of, from before I was so into the food, where I have the freedom now where I'm not. And I wonder if he's seen people, you know, going through, I hope he was able to see people go through the steps and see the experience that happened to them. You know, I don't know, maybe he did. But I'm just so grateful that there is a solution. And I'm so grateful for him that he wrote this so that others can have that experience of being aware, awakening that, you know, having no power. And that treatment, I went for treatment, they couldn't help me. Of course, I wasn't willing at the time, but nothing could help me. And I love where I hear people in the field, working in the field, doctors and therapists and counselors, refer people to 12-step programs. You know, it's like they admit they can't help, or they try to help maybe with other things. But for the main solution and the freedom was with those beautiful 12 steps. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. And as a reminder, we're on page XXVII, beginning with the doctor writes, reading through four paragraphs, ending with that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. And I'll go ahead now and take a couple more names of people who would like to share.
Susan G.
You,
Susan G.
Donna
second.
G. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share?
Susan G., Los Angeles.
Donna G.
Susan G. and Donna G. Thank you so much. Okay, Susan G., go ahead, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Team Monday, and thank you, Sherry, for getting us off in such a beautiful manner, as you always do. You know, I searched high and low to find that doctor to tell me that I was terminally unique and that finally I wouldn't have to apply these spiritual principles, which for me is what he's talking about with the moral psychology, these principles that I now practice in all of my affairs. It was very obvious when I went to the doctor that I was morbidly obese. I was 100 pounds overweight. So what was the obvious thing he was going to say to me? You need to eat less. But I wanted there to be something grandiose, something incredible. I wanted to feel that feeling that Bill Wilson talks about. I had arrived. See, for you it's this way, but I don't have to do this. And, you know, God bless Dr. Silkworth, that he went ahead and spoke up, that he didn't know. And the power, you know, apply the powers of good. He couldn't say God. You know, he was as powerless as we were. And I love his humility that he could say that. And this paramount importance, which everybody has touched on this morning, you know, superior to all other thoughts, to all other matters in my life. And once I did place this ahead of everything else, once I stopped seeking, once I realized that every single snowflake will melt, including mine, I was able to humbly offer myself and take these three steps and start marching forward. And today I do have a life beyond my wildest dreams because I stopped searching and I opened this book and I stopped seeking and just did what I was told to do. And it changed from then on. So thank you this morning, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from California. Donna G., will you share with us now, please?
Hi, thank you. I'm Donna G. from Florida, and I'm working on recovery. And this is the first time I've got on and spoke on this meeting, and I've been coming from quite some time. But I just wanted to say that a vision for you has really opened my eyes and in a way I can't even tell you. I'm also recovering in another program for 27 years, and it never opened me up the way the vision is. And I can't help but think that the same as God spoke to Bill W. and all his fellows, those 100 fellows. He also spoke to the people that started the Vision for You to get back to the basics, get back to the big book, because that's where the recovery is. And today, hearing about, I've heard the doctor's opinion many, many times, but for whatever reason, I never heard it like I heard it today. And that's what I mean, you know, you guys, thank you. Thank you so much from me, and I'm sure all of us at Vision for You is here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna G. from Florida. And I'll take one more name. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So is there another person who would like to share with us today? Anyone want to share?
Jody E.
Go ahead, Jody E. Please take us out. And Liz, come back tomorrow. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dawn, for your service. Thank you, Team Monday, for your service. So there have been great shares this morning on these paragraphs. One thing I've heard on this line is that Dr. Silkworth didn't sign this letter for the first edition of the book. He was afraid to, because here he is admitting that doctors don't know everything and that they can't solve this problem of alcoholism. So he was afraid that his colleagues, his peers, would judge him harshly for this. So he did not sign this letter at first, but once the book became popular and accepted, he did later sign this letter. Also, this moral psychology I haven't looked it up, but it sounds like it is what we do with the 12 steps. We do become more moral people, seems to me, and that when I'm in my addiction for years, because I was using my addiction to cope with life and because it became an obsession, I was not a moral person. I didn't mature emotionally, and I would do whatever it took to get my drug of choice, and I would hurt people in the process. So I was not a moral person in my disease. And the 12 steps and abstinence enable me to be a morally sound person. And the 12 steps enable that, as does my higher power, because I cannot do it myself. So that's what I had to share. And thank you all again. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. And we're now going to be closing the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Mary B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star 1, Mary.
Mary B., our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.